As promised, we're talking baseball right now. We are joined by an excellent baseball columnist with the New York Post and MLB Network insider as well. Joel Sherman joins us on the program. Joel, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. I'm staring and watching a guy mow one of the backfields at Steinbrenner Field. Life could be worse.
Life is good, then. That's a good place to be, Joel. So you are in Tampa, obviously, for spring training with the Yankees. Before we get into the details, there have been a number of changes to the team of the offseason, but one of the biggest changes, Joel, of course, the arrival of Aaron Boone as manager. You would raise the point that Boone did not get that job because of the home run that he hit against the Red Sox in the postseason. But if he doesn't hit that home run, how likely is it that he even gets a chance to interview for that job?
Probably not great. I mean, it's funny. He shares almost the same reason that Bucky Dent got a job, right? Bucky Dent hit one of the most memorable homers in baseball history one October against the Yankees' most important rival, the Red Sox. And that put him on the trajectory to be the manager of the Yankees. And Aaron Boone did the same exact thing. Probably doesn't hurt to have the last name Boone, since his father and grandfather and brother all played Major League Baseball. Probably helps to be in a high-profile job like ESPN. That being said, he got into the room and won the job. Does he get into the room if he doesn't hit that home run? I would think probably not. But, you know, plaudits to him for getting into the room and winning the job.
You know, Joel, knowing him the way we know him, you know, as media members, we've all spoken to him as a player and even since he played, it's not a surprise that he did as well in the room as he did, but he has never been a manager at any level, so there's the adjustment to becoming a manager, and then there's the adjustment to becoming the Yankees manager. How do you think he'll handle that challenge?
Yeah, you know, I know you're aware of the saying, Jim, because, you know, you've covered sports for so long and so many different sports. I always think the major jobs with the Yankees are a lot like the, you know, when Michael Spinks said that he had a plan for fighting Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson said they all have a plan until they get hit.
Right.
Everybody has a plan for being the Yankee manager or the GM, and then they get hit. Some level of crisis happens, and you realize the magnitude of the media is at a different level, and yeah, you know, it's just a different beast. And then you find out, you know, what kind of personality you have. You know, like, you know, we all thought that Joe Torre probably wasn't going to be able to handle it. He didn't do well in three managing jobs before he got to the Yankees. And it turned out his personality was ideal for this position. And so, you know, the answer is, I wish I could tell you that there are obvious personality traits that would help, but who knows?
Joel Sherman joining us. We're talking about the Yankees right now. Now, Joel, the Yankees have added huge pieces before in the past. We know this. Guys like Dave Winfield and Alex Rodriguez. What about the addition of Giancarlo Stanton? How does that compare to some of the other additions that I just mentioned?
Well, this is a huge addition, but something I've been thinking about a lot, Jim, is like in some ways, it is like looking for a house and having a budget, and suddenly your budget isn't for a mansion, but the price of the mansion falls to your budget. You almost have to go get it, even though it's not really the house for you. That's what Stanton felt like a little. You know, the Yankees kind of badly wanted Shohei Ohtani to come to them. The Yankees didn't even make it to the final seven. They then decide to turn around and, okay, what else can we do? And here are the Marlins trying to get rid of the largest contract in the history of the game. Stanton has a no-trade clause. He doesn't want to go to San Francisco. He doesn't want to go to St. Louis. And the Yankees could get a deal where the Marlins eat a significant amount of money, and they essentially get a mansion for the price of a good house. And I'm not exactly sure they needed him. Like, you never turn down a great player. The more great players you have, the chances to win are better. But if you told me the Yankees didn't make that trade and then turned around and used the money on, let's just make them like Yu Darvish, I'm not sure that they're not a better team, because to me, their issue over 162 games is much more likely to be pitching depth fragility than it is going to be offense. Remember, without Stanton, they scored the second most runs in the major leagues last year. There was not a lot of room for improvement there. And they have some hitters potentially coming, and guys like Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar. I'm not exactly sure this was what they needed, but it was just, you know, to get old Godfather, it was an offer they couldn't refuse.
Joel, not only do I love that analogy, I've actually lived the analogy, and I can add to the analogy. I once was looking for a house, and there were these models in this neighborhood, you know, your typical kind of Southern California cookie cutter, overpriced, this, that, and the other. I loved this one model, but it was way too big and way too expensive. But then the person selling the home said it fell out of escrow, and it's a phase five house with phase two pricing. And I said, it's way too big. I don't need it. And this person said, are you stupid? You can get this house for this price. So I went and bought it. And the weird thing was, we grew into a house that was way too big. And maybe that was a stupid analogy to add to your good analogy, but it worked.
I don't know that, but I think it kind of works. I'll throw in one other thing that's not a, you know, people have talked about it, but I don't think they've talked about it enough, Jim. That is the additional fringe benefit of Stanton, why doing it makes a little more sense for the Yankees, which is if they don't do it, they're going to feel almost no matter what happens this season, win, lose, or draw, but especially if they miss the playoffs or get bounced out of the playoffs. In the next free agency phase, when Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are there, and they've already got under the luxury tax and they've reset it, there would be this incredible pressure to give, you know, $400 million or $300 whatever to Harper or Machado. Well, now with Stanton and Judge, there is literally no place for Harper. And with another big right-handed bat in Stanton, I'm not saying that they won't do Machado, but, like, the pressure goes away a little to add another huge player after they've done this. So it's almost like they got this guy for about $220 million for 10 years and avoided having to do $300 or $400 million for another player.
That makes sense to me. Perfect sense to me. Joel Sherman joining us. Now, Joel, what about the dynamic between the two of them? As an example, if you go back, there was the arrival, for instance, of Mickey Mantle to play alongside Joe DiMaggio. You had Dave Winfield playing with Reggie Jackson. You had A-Rod playing with Derek Jeter. In those situations, it was not always smooth between the new guy and the existing guy. Any sense of what that dynamic is going to be like between Stanton and Aaron Judge?
Yeah, that was the column I wrote in the paper today. Is literally, you can go back to 1980-81, that offseason, the Yankees brought in the 6'6" right-handed dynamic player to help them try to get a championship. He was a right fielder, and they already had a right fielder who had just led the American League in homers and finished second in the MVP. It was Dave Winfield and Reggie Jackson. It's the same exact thing to the height of Stanton, 6'6". To Judge winning the AL Homer Championship and finishing second in the MVP this year. The difference is, you know, the guy who was in position then, Reggie, had an ego even bigger than his power. So did Dave Winfield. They were kind of like the best of frenemies right from the beginning, very similar to Jeter, A-Rod. Now, there was potential for some tension here, because if you remember at the All-Star game in particular last year, which was in Miami, in Judge's hometown, in Stanton's home then, right, of Miami, Stanton did not handle all the questions about Judge becoming the face of baseball and the new hulking power hitter well. And to me, it, you know, that the veteran didn't handle it well and the rookie did, said something. And again, he's going to deal with stuff coming to New York. It's a lot like your manager question, Jim, about, like, how will he handle, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, forget about never playing in a playoff game yet 7-8 years into his career. He hasn't played an important game after August 1st yet. Sure. In his career, you know, much less October 1st. So we're about to see a different level of scrutiny for him. That being said, I thought Stanton was great at his press conference and at the Baseball Writers Awards dinner, which was last month in New York. Stanton and Judge sat next to each other. They clearly seem to be getting on well. They both handled the night well at the microphone. And quite frankly, I think Judge is one of those types who we know in a variety of sports who makes it comfortable to be a teammate with him. You know, like, he's never going to make it uncomfortable. He's just a team-first, team-oriented kind of guy, and he's not coming in here with Reggie's attitude or ego or the A-Rod Jeter dynamic. And I, you know, like, if he's got to go to left field, he's not going to blink. If he's got to DH some, he's not going to blink. In fact, him and Brian Cashman, Jim, told a story yesterday that Cashman, you know, which said a lot because the guy was a rookie last year, just out of the right thing to do, called Judge before the trade and said, look, we're very close to maybe being able to do this. I want to give you, you know, like, you know, this is a chance to tell me, hey, you know, I'm worried about playing left field. I'm worried about being DH. And Judge just essentially said, you could get Giancarlo Stanton. Go get Giancarlo Stanton. It will make us so much better. So I just think he's that kind of personality.
Joel Sherman, my guest. Joel, at the risk of holding you too long or blowing up my clock, I do have to ask you this. You know, this notion that because they did this deal, they're not going to be under that kind of immense pressure to do another deal for Bryce Harper that's $300 or $400 million. Yet it feels like a foregone conclusion that Bryce Harper is going to sign with the Yankees. How accurate, in your opinion, is that perception?
I mean, unless you're telling me that at the end of this season, the Yankees are going to trade Stanton or Judge, or, like, you know, Judge blew up and he was a one-year Joe Charbonneau kind of phenomenon, but isn't a real thing, or Stanton can handle New York and they're training him out. I don't think you would put any of those three players in center field. I don't think you would spend that kind of money to create a full-time DH, you know, for a prime-age player. So unless Bryce Harper suddenly also can pitch, I can't imagine doing it. I have spent a lot, like when people have asked me in the last 6 or 8 months, like even before the Stanton trade, and said, hey, who do you think the Yankees will get in that big free agent? You know, this is probably the most star-studded free agent class of all time is right now looming for next offseason. And people would ask, who do you think they're going to get, Machado or Harper? I'd go, Dallas Keuchel. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I mean, kind of like a look at who they have, where they've allocated money, where some of their top prospects play. To me, you know, Dallas Keuchel is Jimmy Key 2.0. Jimmy Key worked perfectly in New York, athletic left-handed pitcher. You know, if I was just guessing, I would assume, like, I would guess against me, you know. But if you told me, like, they were going to get one big guy from next offseason, that's who I would say they get.
You know, Joe Charbonneau is such a great pull. When I think about him, Joe, I don't know about you. Tell me, I mean, do you remember that whole legend that this guy could open up a beer bottle with his eye? Do you remember that whole thing?
I unfortunately remember it because I was the genius who tried.
Great. Yeah, I knew better than to actually try that. But that's for some reason, when I think about him, other than that one great rookie year, I think about the legend of Joe Charbonneau. Joel Sherman, the legend of Joel Sherman, joining us and breaking things down. He is an MLB Network insider and a baseball columnist with the New York Post. Joel, thanks so much. Great to have you back.
It's always great to be on with you, Jim. Thanks.
You too. Joel, have a great day. We're coming right back, and when we do, one open segment. Hit us up. You've got your telephone number. You know where to find me. But I went heavy, and I will for a good guest. The suits have always told me that in New York, you can float that thing out if you have good content.